Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 64th episode of the Mod State Podcast. This is the weekend beat. A little lighter, a little slower, a little bit more weekend-like. I'm looking forward to it. John and I get into the movie Mad Max 2. This is a series of the Road Warrior. And we've been on a kick of kind of going over movies and pop culture, so that's what we'll do. As always, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. If you like Mod State, and you want more of it, go to modstate.com, where we have all the links to the podcast, our op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as the links to all of our social media accounts. You can find me at modstate_Nate, and my Facebook at Nate Welline, where there's all the links to the podcasts. Please, word of mouth, we appreciate your support, and you can find us anywhere that you get your podcasts. So let's get this weekend beat underway. Let's get John on the line.
You want the envelope? There. You take it. It's all yours. You kill all three of them for nothing. You greenhorn, you blockheaded jackass, you nincompoop.
Here we go. What's going on, dude? Hello.
What year is it?
Oh, that's... I don't know. I'm comfortable with 2017, I think.
God.
Actually, that's a lie. I am not comfortable with 2017.
What, just the number, or...?
The year. The actual...
What it's encompassed? I mean, what's happened?
Just everything. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with 2017.
Yeah, I mean... Professionally, it's been a strong year, especially, forget our pursuits outside of Mod State. Mod State's had a good year, but aside from that, yeah, I'm over it.
Okay, cool. We agree.
Even numbers, so yeah, we agree on this.
Sounds good. Well, it's 2018 here on the Mod State Podcast, and it's wonderful. Happy to ring in the new year, and happy that you're all with us in 2018.
Stop.
I'm trying.
So, we're here and we're not talking about, you know, getting crazy with the Cheese Whiz or anything else back used to reference. We're not talking about the Donald.
No. No, we're talking about pop culture.
Yeah.
Cinema and maybe some music. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. What do you think?
It's been a long time since I rock and rolled.
But I like it.
Yeah. At least we're not going to talk about the first female politician that's now been accused of sexual assault / harassment.
Yeah, you sent that next week. You sent me that that link, and I thought it was an Onion article, but I suppose...
No, it's legit.
I suppose it was bound to happen at some point, right?
Maybe you heard me... crying enough in the podcast.
well, we'll have
you go ahead and get bit on the neck at a bar when you're trying to talk to a chick you actually like. Get bit on the neck by, sure, she can have an hourglass, but you're not into her. It's like, get off me, you foul fiend. Tell me how you feel. Well, wait a minute, you were there. Whatever.
I was.
Your precious movie.
My precious movie. My precious. Well.
God.
We are here to talk about Mad Max 2, which is of the, actually, believe it or not.
It's called The Road Warrior, right?
Yeah, so The Road Warrior, as it's sometimes known as Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. And it was preceded by Mad Max, then followed by Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And then Mad Max Fury Road in 2015, right? Yeah.
great flick. Charlize Theron, she carried her weight for sure. Solid performance.
Oh yeah, you told me that she actually was nominated.
She was nominated for Best Actress at the Academy Awards. I didn't know that until long after I saw it and went, that's about right.
Hmm. It's been a minute since I've watched Mad Max 2. Obviously, it was 1981, so a little bit before my time.
Year before Blade Runner, 3 years before I was born, 6 years before you were born?
Yep, roughly. So its release date was, what, December 24th, 1981 in Australia?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
Wait, they celebrate Christmas in the summer. Never mind.
Yeah, it's actually, interesting they have, weird how that sort of works, that your summertime is Christmas, but...
We're going to celebrate it when everything poisonous on our continent is in full bloom.
Well, that's a cause for celebration.
Yeah, but depending on who gets bit, yeah. Did I say that?
You did. It's actually, that would be my time of the year where I would be going to New Zealand where nothing kills you. It's funny how that works.
Well, that would just be annoying.
Just this odd sense of
where's the risk? Where's the gambit?
Exactly. You Kiwis.
Well, it's not just them. Man, I mean...
Are they the smarter Australians? They're like, everything here can kill you, so I'm just going to go.
They might just be the smarter people to stay there, but I, you know, I've long maintained in order to live to 100, I've got to give up everything that makes me want to live to 100, so I'm good.
I guess that's a good mindset, right? It's if you're trying to stay alive for as long as possible, the best way to do it is just accept that we never know.
They've already died once.
And then I'm going to want to die by the time I have to because I'll be 120 years old.
I mean, you know, I was born with a knot in my umbilical cord. Could you not? So it's the only, my pediatrician, Dr. Cavaceres, remarked at the time to my parents, said it's the only one I've seen alive. I stuck a bobby pin in a light socket when I was a year and a half. You know, I mean, and that's before I actually died in 2015. So, hey.
Fair enough. Well, hey, I was born Frank Breech, and which is unprecedented nowadays. I had a
devastating... You were born with Anne Frank, what?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah. What is Frank Breech? I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's actually where you come out butt first. So...
Really?
Yeah. So it's... they actually barely ever deliver that way anymore. And, in fact, right at the time I was going to be born, you know, it was old school, older OBGYN, and all the residents were kind of freaking out, I guess, from what my mom said. And he walked in the room, knocked on the door, said, "Y'all ready to have a baby?" And they delivered that way. So then, so I also had a almost fatal goodness gracious, it's called ITP. It's a immune disease, autoimmune disease, which nearly killed me at 9. So, yeah, man, we're gonna be 1,000 by the time we die.
Dude, I mean, whatever happens to me, it's whatever. I just feel for my poor mother who was in labor with me for 24 hours.
Jesus.
Like, I told my mom, I said, "You love me more than I love anything."
I guess...
I mean it.
I guess it's a labor of love, my friend. That's maybe where it came from.
Dude. Yeah. Hey, yes, definitely. Because Yeah. There's... anyway.
Well, yeah, that's awesome. Now our mother's birthing stories are out for the world to know.
The world knows we love our mothers.
Exactly. That's the most important thing.
We're not talking bad about them. Hey, they're bigger men than we are.
Indeed.
And I mean that in the best sense of respect.
Indeed. Well, let's get into...
I remember the Road Warrior.
The Road Warrior. So, backstory. I don't know why, but we've been really getting after these old flicks. But what's important to know, if you've never seen the Road Warrior series or Mad Max, as they would call it, Mad Max 2 actually got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and Roger Ebert, who we said before is this huge acclaimed movie critic, gave it a 3.5 out of 4. And it was actually nominated for Best Supporting Actor, Best Actor for Mel Gibson. By the way, Mel Gibson, main actor here. It was widely considered one of the greatest action movies ever made. And let's see, what else? The music, so I was actually caught off guard here. The music was made by Brian May.
Not that Brian May.
A different Brian May. I was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? And no, not that Brian May. And it was released in Australia. Its budget was $4.5 million and brought in $10.8 in Australia and $23.7 in Canada and the United States. So, I don't know, just for inflation. It obviously didn't make a ton of money, but it definitely has its credits and credit due where credit is owed. We normally like tie things in to movies and how they're relevant today, but you know, I suppose you could make the case for post-apocalyptic world, or you know, being your own man and drifting, and maybe some sort of biblical odyssey. But actually, the motto, or on a lot of the posters for Mad Max, there's a saying ironic that says, "Just one man can make a difference." And
Dad, I told you on a precast chat, it's a little more optimistic, I suppose,
yeah,
in suggestion than what actually. I mean, he is, not to be a spoiler of the end result of the movie, but he does end up, in spite of being the anti-hero most of the time, he ends up being quite the hero. But it still ends bleakly.
Yeah, it does.
In a satisfactory fashion.
He sort of just drifts again after it's all done.
You've seen the first one, you can understand why I would probably be, as the narrator says, a shell of a man.
Yeah, I would also be that. But essentially, essentially the plot of the movie is he's this drifter. He's got this badass black supercharged V8 pursuit special, and he's just scavenging, right? Sort of like the Book of Eli, just making his way. And eventually, he, you know, as any post-apocalyptic type movie would be, he runs into Lord Humongous. I want to say Humalingus. Jesus, I'm making up sex.
The Ayatollah of rock and rolla. Remember that line?
Yep, I do. So yeah, he runs into Lord Humongous and his gang, and you know, he's got a deal for his life essentially. And
it's saviors from The Walking Dead look like, you know, I don't know, Simon and Garfunkel or the Carpenters.
Yep.
They're pretty extreme.
Pretty extreme. He, you know, goes on this sort of journey trying to. So his family is, of course, captured, tortured, raped, and put to death. And
who?
Isn't his family?
No,
not his. Not in the first one.
Who are you talking about?
I'm not. He moved in with a group of settlers. That's what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. First one, his wife and kid got mowed down the highway.
Yeah, the second one.
Think about Game of Thrones, you know, where somebody's genitalia is getting cut off and somebody's getting burned at the stake.
Yeah, I got the two movies mixed up, but you're right.
Putrescence.
Yeah, you know, we brought this up in pre-show and digging into this a little bit because, you know, you can go and watch the movie and I don't have to give you the whole plot, but there was you described it as they were able to, both in the first and the second specifically, with this pretty horrific scene, I suppose, they were able to portray the horrific nature of this, of human, you know, suffering without actually showing it, right? I mean, they did to a degree, but
you saw when he tries to seize the vehicle, the truck, yes, there's a body in a state of putrefaction in there. Then of course, when the scene occurs where you get the idea that a woman who tried to escape after they kill her husband, she's getting raped, but they don't show it, and they show through the perspective of the guy that John Captain looking through the peering through the looking glass, it then shows her getting shot with an arrow, and they show his face. Mm-hmm. The score rises, and you get the perspective, and it's a lot more dramatic. And I know you said, well, for such a dark person, I know, but, you know, at the same time, a little subtlety. You know, I,
yep.
even as a swashbuckler, I do aspire to be a student of the fine, whether that's the being Le Chat Noir or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we're missing today. That's like, again, not to pick on Game of Thrones, but it's a totally free show. Eye gouging and genitalia removal and then rape, and then the last straw was the little girl getting burned to stake as her dad turns her back, his back. I was like, all right, that's it. It's well made, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's a lot of well-built houses I'm not going to buy.
I think the difference between something like this and what we have today in cinema, I mean, obviously, something,
they show everything now.
Yeah, something like Game of Thrones, I mean, it does leave little to the imagination. It makes me wonder if we just need that now. Like, there's been some sort of precedent that's been set that nothing is going to be as good unless you're showing the eyes being gouged out or the boy king, you know, just being brutally assassinated, or
the guy making the guy whose genitalia he's removed watch him rape his wife
or his sister. Yeah,
like, really?
Yeah, and the, of course, the little girl being burned at the stake. It's like,
yeah,
what
for me.
What bar do we have to set in order to be like horrified?
It's like the album cover. I forget who, I want to say it was Fall Out Boy. Maybe it wasn't. It was some band that I would never be caught dead listening to. But the point was, the album cover was great. It was two naked women sitting on a bench or a porch swing or something. Two completely naked women, and their hair was on fire. And the name of the album is Nothing Is Shocking.
I mean, and makes a point.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. It's almost as if, you know, we talked about this, the things that we've seen, and I've seen you. There's nothing that compares to the real life thing. And there's something to be said about subtlety, I suppose. And again, I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones, but it isn't necessarily for the shock jock value. It's for the...
We like it for a different reason. That's good on you.
Yeah, well, I think it's like the House of Cards kind of situation. It's the geopolitics that I enjoy, on top of the acting as well. But I suppose I could probably do without the...
It's incredibly well made. The acting's awesome. I'm not knocking that. But again, you know, there's some very finely built houses, some well-made cars that I don't aspire to have. I mean, there's some beautiful people that I don't aspire to be around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, to each their own. Some people are like, dude, Blade Runner is your favorite movie ever. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you don't have to watch it. You know, so I'm not knocking that. It's just, I realize it's just not for me.
Yeah, it's, you know, we made this analogy too. It's like, why do some people enjoy Jimi Hendrix on a not historical level, but just the music versus the subtlety of Keith Richards? You know, I as a
John Lee Hooker, you know, some elegant blues player.
Yeah, I mean, there's as a guitarist myself, it was really, you know, I found myself, and I'm sure there's Jimi Hendrix fans out here who are like, you can go to hell, but there became a point.
You can't hear them over the distortion.
Yeah. Exactly. I think there came a point where I appreciated what he was doing, but it was hard to sort of listen to after a while, where there was the subtleties of like a Keith Richards on Let It Bleed, where the, you know, he could go from the acoustic. I mean, he was they're both amazing rhythm guitarists, but
I would much rather hear Keith Richards play acoustic than Jimi Hendrix, though.
Yeah. Well, and definitely, obviously, styles.
Think about this. It was tongue in cheek in the movie, but the movie Zoolander, when he's talking about Sting, he's like, the music he's making, I don't listen to it, but the fact that he's making it, I respect that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I respect what Hendrix did with All Along the Watchtower. Bob Dylan said, if I knew that song could sound that good, I would have recorded it electric.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Versus Midnight Rambler. He's talking about an apocalyptic jam.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's two completely different styles, but a little subtlety. And I think the English have always been better at that than we have.
I suppose you're right to a degree. You just have to look at British cinema, even just The Office, the difference between the British Office and the American Office, a little bit more over the top.
Look at the Rolling Stones and the Beatles when they came here. Yeah, girls were screaming at them. You know, sure, but they were in suits. They were meek. I mean, they weren't outrageous. Whereas here, it's like there's got to be a billboard taken out. There's got to be people, MCs going out before you, half naked women dancing, fireworks. You know, over there, I mean, they don't need all that to showcase the greatest Premier League, as they call it, in the world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But they're felonious cousins in Australia and the Road Warrior. Back to them.
Oh yeah, we're talking about that. So, of course, he has this journey, and he meets with individual get his name here.
Kind of looks like Jagger, actually.
A little bit.
A blonde, like beat up Jagger.
Yep. So he meets up with the best supporting actor. I believe that was Bruce Spence. And
yes.
Who plays the character Captain, Jiro.
I was talking about the leader of the people, sorry. He's the one that's like Jagger.
And essentially he's, in the end, he takes his life, he's shot down, and through many struggles that go on in the entire movie, and obviously the antagonist here being Lord Humongous. And in the end, where the sort of motto of the movie comes from, one man, just one man can make a difference.
He did.
So he, and you go ahead and elucidate on this, if you will, towards the end.
Which one?
Yeah, there was.
We can talk about here, because the helicopter guy, he makes it. He ends up becoming the leader of the people. You're talking about Mad Max sacrificing himself?
Yes.
I mean, he... Well, without completely ruining the movie...
Oh, we're going to ruin
it. There's a twist at the very end where, I mean, Max is half dead, but he ends up being... I mean, he's the only one who can drive the semi with oil. And there's this big fracas to escape. It's kind of like Escape from L.A., only there's nowhere to go. It's just the desert.
Yep.
Yeah, could have filmed this in 29 Palms and gotten the same effect. You know, they're just trying to escape... Your pursuits like this cannot end well, but ends up at this horrifying crash being a ruse because the tanker is filled with sand.
Indeed.
And the bus that's virtually unprotected is all the gas, and the people get away, and that's where Max just battered and bloody. I don't even think his poor dog makes it.
No, his poor dog. I wanted to keep that.
That's right. He gets blown up.
Yeah, he gets killed with a crossbow, I think. If I remember correctly.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes. I was trying to keep the dogs out. But the dog's out of it, but I couldn't. So
I mean, I'm a huge dog person, as you know, but still, I was like, oh. He's so ugly. Now you got to kill him?
Yeah. You got to add that effect, you know? So anyway, they escape, right? And they head to the coast, and they establish the Great Northern Tribe. I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
And this is where he sort of had this decision to make where he could remain there, or, again, he does this bleak journey back into the desert and becomes the Drifter again.
The Road Warrior.
The Road Warrior.
It's now only in my memories.
I think if I...
Great line.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was trying to find some sort of way to relate this to today. What I do know is that after watching this movie and any movie like The Book of Eli, I don't think...
I'm going to watch it again tonight. Shit.
Yeah. I don't think I could possibly survive in a post-apocalyptic world. I don't think I could do it.
After 2020, you can't survive.
If we make it, and
as long as you're with me, I'll die again. I mean, you'll be fine.
Okay. Well,
you'll have time anyway.
Fair enough. I've come to the center of the United States to increase my odds of surviving, but with so many people moving here, I don't know.
Just send your crazy, well-suited Amos Moses friend and. I'll take care of it.
All right, fair enough. We've got a plan. I just need to get food, I suppose.
It's whatever.
But yeah, it's
not well dressed.
So it's actually interesting that, I mean, this movie, you don't really see these type of action movies making the run for best actor, best international film, 6 nominations, best director.
It's got to be just pedal to the metal the whole time. I mean, think about it. You couldn't get away with this. I mean, God forbid, I mean, sure as hell couldn't do it in an Avengers movie. I mean, I tell you what, a film that came close was Looper. Looper had similar pacing. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It had, and you know what? People in our generation younger would say it was slow. That's the big criticism nowadays from, you know, people our age of Blade Runner. Because Blade Runner, it's very tough to call an action movie. There was only like 3, maybe 4 action sequences in the whole 2.5 hours. You know, The Road Warrior, yes, technically action, but nowadays they probably call it a thriller or a drama, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's probably a better genre for it if you were to release it today.
The visual is the whole thing. It's so bleak, the landscape. It's like there is no escape. These people are going to get butchered in Mad Max, this half-hearted, hard-boiled survivor who's in it for himself but finds common cause with him. And at the end, does have a big heart, obviously.
Yeah. You know, it does a good job of playing to, I mean, all movies play to, like, the basic fears of humans. In this sort of like empty, desolate wasteland where there's nowhere to turn.
Plays. It elucidates it without spelling it out.
Indeed. Good use.
Absolute vulgarities.
Exactly. So it does a good job of leaving some room to the imagination where maybe today's cinema has more of that shock jock kind of a feel. Not all, but you know, where we talked about Game of Thrones and stuff like that. But it's one of those, man. Like, we keep pulling out these movies from such, you know, I'd say such a long time ago, but, you know, 30 plus years ago, and they still stand the test of time. I mean, it's.
Were they that good, or is today that bad?
I know, that's a good question. I would have.
I say they were that good, because you got to remember the next year Blade Runner came out.
Very true.
But I think it's awesome. I mean, not that everything's bad now. Looper was good.
I mean, there are good dramas, I mean, good movies, but you wonder how many of them will be something you'll be reaching for 30 years from now.
Well, exactly. You know, people nowadays are still listening to pop music from the mid-60s. How many are going to be pulling out Genie in a Bottle and, you know, Baby Hit Me One More Time in 30 years?
You know, it'll be... someday when we have a party for everyone who's like 50, and someone will put on,
I will break your hands,
some mix, like the 90s mix, early 2000s.
I'm going to have a ball peen hammer.
just who knows what kind of speakers we'll be listening through. Maybe it'll...
I will be raging. It was bad the first go round.
We got to bring it back, huh?
Jesus.
Yeah, well...
Dude, I mean, it's like in From Hell. There's a good one.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Yep.
I'm now very graphic, though. But he wants to go back in an autopsy. One of the dead prostitutes, and the poor mortician's like, "You look at it. I've already touched the bloody mess twice." And he just throws his trowel down and leaves. It's like, yep. Yeah, I'm not doing it again. I feel that way in our culture. It's like a living abortion I've got to see every day.
But yeah, so it's I think it's worth to go check out. I mean, obviously these are movies that I guess in a way sort of grew up with and watched. But this one specifically, I mean, getting the ratings that it did, and it sort of held the test of time. Definitely has a cult following, but it's just sort of this endless amount of awards and good critiques, and I don't know, everything about it's just a pretty good flick. I mean, it's obviously beyond a pretty good flick. I think
it's what, legendary. Yeah. I mean, it deserves it. It was a hell of a summer for my dad and I. It was summer 2001. I had just turned 17. He and I grew on this. We both felt like 17 was our our year of life in which we had maximum freedom and enjoyment with the versus and the inverse, the least amount of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great year, junior year of high school. And that summer, he showed me, I had never seen these movies. You gotta remember, there was no streaming then. Downloading was not only suspect or illegal, but it was highly suspect. He'd actually get you in trouble back then. So we rented movies from Blockbuster. If you can imagine, it's a thing on VHS. Of, well, no, what? Anyway, doesn't matter. A couple of them might have been DVD. Doesn't matter. But same month, I ended up seeing The Road Warrior. The next night, we watched Blade Runner. And then the third night, this movie I'm more kind of, it's kind of weirds me out at times, but was the original Dune.
No.
But that was back to back to back. I'd never seen any of those movies. And I mean, Dune, I like it, but it's not on the same level as The Road Warrior and Blade Runner. But I remember both, The Road Warrior and Blade Runner both, from the beginning, it's like, from the Australian narration of The Road Warrior and the scroll down or scroll up description of the replicants, and the Blade Runners to retire them, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack, the cityscape of a post-apocalyptic LA. I was just in awe. I was like, what is this? There was just this amazing sense of wonder that I know I'm not the first, and I won't be the last person to feel that way, but
yeah.
Does Marvel Alliance give you the same feeling? I mean, does the latest...
No, I think it's
the latest far, Spot of the House give you that same feel?
Far too commercial, I think. I mean, again, obviously you're not the only person that thinks this, because here's some more some stats for you. 2008, it was selected by Empire Magazine as one of the 500 greatest movies of all time. New York Times placed it on the best 1,000 movies ever. Entertainment Weekly rated it 93rd out of 100 of the greatest movies of all time. I mean, it just goes on. In 99, they ranked it, updated it to the 41st greatest film of all time. And then, it had 11th on a ranking for the all-time coolest hero in pop culture. And then Playboy ranked it 11th on the list of 15 sequels that are way better than the originals. So, hey, I mean, that's a pretty, for that type of movie, that's a pretty pretty solid list of accolades.
That's true. I was scribbling down the notes here, as I always am. I'm thinking, maybe now is the time we should kick into our, you know, people do top 10, top 100 lists. Maybe now is when we should do our
Mods.
13, you know, our 13 list, you know.
Yeah.
The 13 movies, for instance, most relevant to the modern state. And I don't want to get carried away in the sense that I want to, by any means, we're not very away from economics and sociopolitics, but, you know, things like Road Warrior and Blade Runner are relevant, obviously, in tremendous ways. Now, and I think now and again, yeah, doing a top 13 list wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, I like the idea. Do add a little of the entertainment and pop culture to that list of op-eds and a whole section. I like it.
It's like a sort of cultural or slash cult of personality thing for me. But I mean, I suppose it's entertaining to a certain degree as I grumble under my breath. Today.
But it, worth watching. I think I'm going to pull it out this weekend and watch it again. A lot of good boomerangs and explosions.
Oh, yeah. That idiot getting his, we spoiled enough of the movie.
We've ruined it. We've ruined enough. No one's going to watch it now. It's going to be.
Well, I mean, they probably are not. I mean, we didn't exactly spell out which characters we're talking about. And still, I'm probably about to go watch it right now since. Well, I gotta write, but we you and I are done for the weekend. So
indeed, yeah, we'll be back on Sunday. Well, rather, excuse me, Monday, and of course throughout the week as well, and bringing you back into the realm of reality that is today in 2017 in the United States and the world.
Then we'll be back on Christmas, around Christmas.
Around Christmas, yeah.
Christmas Eve. Here's hoping I don't end up in the drunk tank in Orleans Parish.
I hope you don't.
I'll be at, my brother and I will be at the Saints Falcons game.
Excellent.
Rather pivotal. So it's, I'm going to record. I'm selling to my little mini digital camera, but that's always, dude, I dread. It's like going to the Ole Miss LSU game. I dread. I mean, I'm going to enjoy it, of course, but it's just
a little wild.
It's a game to me. Okay. I enjoy it, but it's not even soccer. No offense, but I mean, it's a ball game regardless, but people take it so seriously. And I mean, I enjoy the rivalry, but damn, and it's just, it's New Orleans and Atlanta goes way beyond football. Mm-hmm.
It's, some people do take it just a bit too serious, but it's good entertainment nonetheless.
At any rate, we'll probably end up getting together on the 23rd, I would wager, so we might have something for everybody actually on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Days off for good behavior or baby Jesus.
Indeed. When you're sick of your family, you can tune into the Mod State podcast and just feel even more depressed about what's going on in the world.
I mean, you know, I don't find it depressing. I think it is.
And it's what it is.
The thunder is going to roll, so by God, I want it to roll.
Well, you all know where to find us at modstate.com. All of our op-ed and opinion pieces. We do hope that everyone is rolling in the holidays in a safe, fun fashion. You get to see family and relax a little bit. But needless to say, we'll be at the grind no matter what, because we're always, as you know, all the fits that make the news. Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be huge. Believe me.
It's going to be huge. Indeed. Well, with that, my friend,
au revoir.
We'll see you.